been having a tough week. It's been like a really bad week. I've been in a funk and I can't shake it. For some of the parents in the room, you may sympathize with me. This past weekend, I had to drop my daughter Cameron off at college for her junior year. Now, some parents might be happy to have the kids out of the house. You know, there's quiet and there's an instant abundance of food suddenly available when the kids aren't there. But me, I get very sad. I get real sad. And all week, I've been in this Cameron funk, and all the little negative things that kind of happen along the way just seem to be magnified. You know that feeling where every little, it could have even a tiny negative thing, just feels like a dagger just stabbing at your soul? Last week, after we dropped her off, my wife and I went to Lowe's to get whatever, I don't remember what it was, and it was in the rain, and there was some guy ahead of me who was just lost in a parking lot, which is fairly easy to navigate, but he was just going extra, extra slow. And I was slowly losing my mind while this was going on. Then there was other things, you know, the small clutter you might have at home, it just seems extra cluttery. And all week, it does seem like Kendrick has been like a little bit more whiny than usual. And when he cries, it's so much louder than normal. I can just feel it. Even our dog smells way worse than normal, and she just had a bath. So I need something. I need some joy in my life. How about you? Do you need some joy? Because I do. Now, speaking of that rainy day at Lowe's, it brings me back to the day of Cameron's high school graduation party. It was a great day to start. The sun was shining. It was rather hot out, but there was a tent in the backyard to sit under for some shade. We got Chipotle for the food because Cameron asked for that, and she has a strange addiction to that place that I just don't understand, but I'm sure some type of therapy could take care of that. All their close friends and family were there. It was great until a system of rain went right over our house. And when I say it rained, it rained. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained. And then it rained more, and then it kept raining. Now, a bunch of people left because of the rain. That's fine, that was their choice. And also keep in mind, this is in 2020, it's pandemic year. Cameron already had her senior in high school lacrosse season canceled. They kicked all the kids out of school and sent them home, so she was stuck with me for more months than normal. And there was nothing else for the kids to do. As a parent, it hurts to see your kids so upset, especially when there's nothing that you can do about it. We feel powerless, and what started as an incredibly joyous day had all the joy sucked out of it, or perhaps washed away. We planned a nice outside, socially distanced, blue gloves and hand sanitizer and the food line, all that stuff to make everything as safe for all the guests and all that. And then what do we get? We got a great flood of sorts. Someone even tried to lighten the mood when this was going on. This was after about a foot of rain, which, well, it felt like a foot of rain had already fallen, and it turned my backyard into my very own Gavoni's water park. This guy looked at me, he goes, "Hey, at least it's not snow." Grr. And then something happened. We had a little speaker in the window of the house, and it was playing music, and I knew some of the words to it, to the songs that Cameron was playing, which made me the coolest dad ever. Cameron and her friends, they ran outside into the heavy rain, and they danced. In the middle of all that bad weather and bad energy, they danced in the rain, and they were just loving the moment. At last, in a time where I felt helpless to make anything better because of this joy-draining weather event, joy had been restored. I didn't even have anything to do with it, really. I was too busy looking at the sky going, why? Why today? Nevertheless, the party ended up being a big success for Cameron. The amount of people there was drastically reduced, but the ones that did stay got to partake in the restored joy that I so desperately need right now. So for some of you that like titles, I've entitled this sermon at Dancing in the Rain. So let's talk a little bit more about this joy. Well, you don't have to talk. I'll do all the talking. Joy is mentioned in the Bible 159 times, and I'm going to go through every single one of those verses over the next 11 to 13 minutes. Now, you think I'm kidding? Now, we all know that joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit, along with love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The definition of joy, according to Oxford Dictionary, is a feeling of great happiness. Or Merriam-Webster says, the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. I kind of like that last part, especially because of what time of year it is. With the upcoming fall holy days, we're going to celebrate what we should want the most. It's kind of like in Pirates of the Caribbean, Jack Sparrow, he carries around this compass, and most of the time it just kind of spins around. It really has no order to it. But when it does point at something, it points directly at what he wants. Our compass is our Bible, and it should point us directly to what we want most, what we prospect of possessing, and of what we desire. Ultimately, it's to be part of God's kingdom, and there is no greater joy than being there. It's the ultimate joy of all, true joy, where everything is perfect and nothing can take that away. There's no storm clouds that can take that type of joy from you. Our joy around this time of year should be building up, increasing, and gaining momentum with each passing holy day until we get to the feast where we get to envision endless joy. We should be feeling it inside us even right now. And each day, making things here maybe a little bit more pleasing, even when one of our kids goes off to college and you miss them very much. Hopefully it'll help us, and especially me, to get me through this tough time or whatever else we may be going through. Maybe it'll help us see the big picture a little bit better and not let these little things get to us, because in reality, most of these little things that are taking the joy away from us, they're our little things compared to the big picture. So what am I complaining about up here with no joy? It's kind of like in Hebrews 12, in verse 2, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus knew he was going to be crucified. Crucified! I'm putting together a dog run in the backyard that I should have put up about 3 years ago, take the joy out of my day. So what's wrong with me, and where are my priorities when it comes to finding some joy? Okay, so since there's 158 more scriptures to cover here, I better get on with it. While I was looking for a little inspiration, I came upon a scripture that really hit me while I'm in this funk. In Proverbs 17, verses 22, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Joy in your heart is like taking the perfect medicine for something that ails you, only without all the nasty side effects that we hear about with all these man-made medicines. Things like headache, nausea, mood swings, maybe you're suddenly left-handed like I am, dry bones, and then there's always one that I kind of chuckle at it, sudden and instantaneous death. Not that I find it humorous, because whenever I hear that, I go, ooh, I bet that's some good medicine. That sounds really good. No, the only side effect of a joyful heart is more joy. Joy is a vital part of our lives and health. In Proverbs 10, verses 28, it says, the prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hopes of the wicked come to nothing. Or in other versions, nothing means perish or death. With no joy in us, there really isn't much else. Now that being said, it doesn't mean that everything around us needs to be perfect to feel joy. In all reality, nothing here in life is going to be perfect and just line up the way you want it to. There's always going to be something going on, but that's okay. I recently read a quote about joy, and it said, joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering. It is the presence of God. So maybe I have had joy around me this whole week, and I just didn't realize it. If God's with me, then how can there not be some kind of joy? If God is with us, then we can all partake in that joy until we hopefully get to the ultimate joy next to him in the kingdom. That joy is perfect and everlasting. It's permanent. Think of the best day that you ever had. It might not even have been a special day, like a birthday, or the day you got married, or the day that you received your first Oscar. It might also have been just a regular old day where the weather was just the way you liked it. Everything you ate tasted just the way you like it prepared. Work was a good day, there was no traffic, nothing was broken, and it was just a good day. It was joyous. Well, when you're part of the kingdom, it's going to be 1,000 times better than that, or 10,000 times better, or 1,000,000 times better. And there certainly won't be any rain clouds during any parties. I'm pretty sure of that. We'll all be surrounded by the ones that belong there, and we'll all share in that joy together. Speaking of sharing things together, in Romans 12, verse 15, it says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." Or another version of that is, "Be joyful with those who are joyful, be sad with those who are sad." Share those happy times together and show empathy when it's needed. Not sympathy. Sympathy is more of a subjective emotion, whereas empathy is more of an ability to identify with people in their problems. Maybe you can bring them back to a more joyous mood. It's said that joy is the simplest form of gratitude. It's a showing of thankfulness to someone. Maybe someone you helped. You could help them out when they are down. So it is kind of a funny thing in this temperature controlled to perfection room we're in up here. Now that I've shared all this with you, I'm starting to feel a little bit better. I actually feel a little bit of joy inside. And we're all going to go through trials. It's part of our journey, whether we do like it or not. We might not like the weather, for that matter, at certain times, but it shouldn't deter us from feeling joy. Trials can be the thief of joy, and they can it can snatch it away at us at any time or when we least expect it. But focusing on where we're headed, especially during this upcoming holiday season, is important. Really see where we're headed. And with each passing day closer to the feast, where we envision ultimate joy, joy that we haven't even come close to feeling before on this earth. It's in our near future, so don't let trials deplete your supply of joy. I thought Cameron's party was ruined that day in the rain. I thought she was going to cry all night long, because Cameron cries sometimes, and we're not always sure why. And she doesn't either. She has a tendency to cry. Not necessarily a bad thing. She's just not afraid to show her emotions. But she taught me a lesson that day, and she schooled me on how to restore joy. And with that being said, I'd like to leave you with a quote from Vivian Green. It says, "Life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain." Have a great rest of your Sabbath, everybody.